All right. Don Patterson with Going to Meetin'. That's exactly how he wrote it. Going to Meetin'. Patterson is on organ. Jerry Bird is on guitar. Billy James is on drums. This is from Patterson's 1965 album, Satisfaction. And today, you get some satisfaction because it's Free Your Mind Friday. Now, if you're tuning in for the first time, Free Your Mind Friday is a day that we suspend our regular programming format and we open it up to be a free forum where you are free to express your point of view. Hopefully you have a strong point of view about something. So you let us know what it is. You make your case. I don't want you just calling in and yammering. Oh, we don't like yammerers. We like people who have something to say and who have put it together in a way that we could understand it with some kind of supporting material so that we understand more completely what your point is. And that is what Free Your Mind Friday is all about. It's important that you have an opinion. I don't want you just taking a scenic tour and that's it. No. You have to be talking about something that people would be readily concerned with too and readily familiar with because they've been following stories and news events just like you. So that's what Free Your Mind Friday is all about. You call in at 888-874-4888. Calls are taken in the order in which they come in. So that's a hint right there. You call early, you get on early. 888-874-4888. As you know, we have come to the end of a rather startling week. And it's not finished. It will continue beyond this week into several more weeks and right into the new administration. So there's a lot to say. There's a lot to comment about. But I'm really interested in your analysis, not only your opinion, but your analysis. And do make an effort to offer one. 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. I'm looking to see who's up first. Let's see. All right, I'm waiting for you at 888-874-4888. It's very important, again, that you use this opportunity to sharpen your skills as a communicator. That's one of the things. It may sound odd. It may sound misplaced. But let me tell you, I regard every person listening to this program and this station as a person who may at one point or another be precisely the person who is in place to be asked a question and to offer an answer. But you need practice. You need to know how to use the medium. You know how to present your point of view. And if you do that well, then it's perfect. Noel from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Utrice. I wanted to speak about what happened at the Capitol building the other day. And how, especially me calling from New York City, how the police were treated the Floyd people who were protesting throughout the city. It's funny that the police in other communities, especially black and brown, and maybe even some poor white communities, they're always prepared. But for that particular incident, they weren't prepared, and this is the Capitol building of the United States of America. It's utterly ridiculous. I think this is proving that this is a perfect example of white supremacy, how one people are being beaten, flogged, whatever the case. And here it is, the good old boys, they get to come in, they get to parade around, and many of them get to walk out. That's basically all I had to say, Utrice. It is just a perfect example of white supremacy. Would you like to ask me anything?
Well, I'm interested in where you think this is headed. Okay, we saw what happened. We saw what unfolded. We don't know everything at all, even though we saw some portion of it. We were not on the ground, so we still are awaiting some serious details. But
where do I think it's headed? I think it could be squashed, like for example, Donald Trump. Look at all of the things that this man has 23 different or 26 different women have accused him of sexual impropriety. He's not in jail, or maybe because he was the president. Bill Barr, he gets away with murder. When is it, to answer the question, it could all stop tomorrow if every person was treated equally under the law.
Okay. Thank you so much. Thank you for calling in and getting us started today. Lee from New York, you're on the air.
Ah, yes. Well, the gentleman said everything that I wanted to say except one thing. And that
what is the
is,
one thing, Lee?
How come those police did not feel that their life was threatened?
Okay. Your question is meant to ask another question. What is the other question? Or what is the answer to your question?
Well, I guess black people are threatening and white people are not threatening. Even when you have a gun, you're not threatening if you're white. You can be completely unarmed and you're black, peacefully marching, but you're a threat. They feel their life is threatened.
And what do you expect? You made a very important point. Where should this go?
I don't think it's going to go very far. I've read a lot of what everybody had to say in Europe, and we don't look good, and the criticism over there is scathing. But I don't think anything much is going to happen. I really don't think very much is going to happen. I used to live on Riverside Drive, right?
Mm-hmm.
At 140th. And it was like I was a chameleon, because down on Riverside Drive, the police come through if there's a problem, there's no sirens. Fire trucks come through, there's no sirens, right? Once I pass Convent Avenue, it's like I turn into a different person. The treatment I got on that side and just going a little bit across town, across Broadway, going east, like I'm a different person. I mean, the courtesy that was extended to me on the other side was unbelievable. I went to a funeral one day, right? And I wanted to catch the bus. The cops stopped the bus right in the middle of the street, not even on the bus stop, so that I could get on that bus near Condon Avenue Church.
Wow. You stunned him with your beauty.
And it's, ma'am, good afternoon, good morning.
You're not buying my explanation, I see. You stunned him with your beauty. And that's why he did it.
Sure.
But I get your point. I get your point. So when will we come to an understanding, you think? What has to happen to bridge this gap, if it is at all bridgeable? So everybody is just simply everybody.
I think that we as a community have to do like other communities do. When we have a lot of domestic problems, instead of calling the police, we need to have our own people within that community that we go to resolve whatever the issue is. And somebody should be on duty, a group of people, 24/7. Other communities do it. They have it in place right now. Right? I think we need to talk to each other about how we spend our money and start making the money work for us as opposed to supporting other people's communities. A lot of people, they just don't understand. They really don't understand that concept.
Well, what you're talking about is activism, and it requires, first, a consciousness. Most people, this is not condemning them, I want you to understand. This is just recognizing
mm-hmm.
people are working under intense pressures every day.
Mm-hmm.
And they prioritize those things that they must do. The last thing on their mind is, how do I spend my money? Where do I go? You know, what do I do to support the businesses in my community? They're not thinking that way. Their minds are occupied with other things, and survival being the number one thing, and survival linked to where they get, you know, what they get paid to do. So they're interested mm-hmm. in satisfying the demands of a job. But at the same time, and I think you're right on point with that, there has to be an effort made to educate or re-educate the community about how you can be a living, thriving organism in our community and help the community grow at the same time. It's not you have to make a choice between this and that. You can do all of it at the same time, and you'll be happier knowing that you put purpose behind what it is you think. You put purpose in it. So thank you. Very good suggestion. Thank you so much. Renaud from New York, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes, this is Renaud Haywood from Cambria Heights, New York. I love your show. Love, love,
Renaud.
Love.
It,
hello?
You pronounce it Renaud.
Yes, like fox in French. Oh. It means fox in French.
Okay, Renaud. Thank you.
My analysis of the storming of the Capitol is, if you will listen closely, this is my analysis. It is it's God's wrath on this nation. Why do I say that? Because people that voted for Trump feel they won the election, and they are being ignored. Are you there?
Yes, I'm listening intently.
Yeah, they are so, they're seething. I notice these people, you can say white people, okay, say white people. They are seething white hot rage. White hot rage, rage of all rages. And it comes out in a wrath to this nation that won't listen to them. You can call them the deplorables. And Trump knows how to talk to the so-called deplorables. So let me say this. It is God's wrath, and it will continue even if Biden puts his hand on the Bible. And it's not going to be good the next 4 years. There's not going to be any peace. Even with Biden and Kamala made a statement about racism or something, if it was Black Lives Matter, they wouldn't have done this, they wouldn't have done that. But what is needed is Biden to forfeit and concede the election for peace and peace and you know, for things to calm down. If Biden puts his hand on the Bible, 74 million, 75 million, 80 million, they say a lot of people are going to be outraged to the point of some stupid white racist will pick up a long rifle or do something very stupid and kill Biden. You can't ignore 75,000 people. You think it's just one man, Trump. I'm sorry to say this. You must, Biden, I'm saying my Biden must forfeit, concede. If he does not, this nation will be in a turmoil. And
but
you won't have, you can't
what,
blame Trump. You won't
he,
be able to blame Trump. The turmoil
why
will continue.
He concede? Why should he concede when...
Because he didn't win.
Who, wait a minute, I haven't finished.
Okay.
Why must he concede when he won a national election under supervision and observation from authorities?
I understand.
Fairly and squarely. Why should he concede? He won fair and square.
Because there's election fraud. It's been proven by Giuliani and other...
Oh, gosh.
Okay, you might not believe it.
Listening
fine.
To you until you said that.
Fine, but there's been ballot stuffing.
It's
been proven. Giuliani got
it's
proof.
It's been proven. Who has proven it?
If you, see, that's the thing. Nobody wants to listen. Supreme Court doesn't want to listen. The other courts don't want to listen, from Wisconsin, Philadelphia, Georgia. They don't want to listen.
You mix it with a whole bunch of things, and you hope that by enveloping it in the cloak of God, that people will not refute you. But I am. I don't understand your point at all. And you haven't proven anything.
Fine. Well, things will run ripshod very soon. If you don't take heed my words, that was God's wrath attacking the Capitol.
All right, great.
I'm sorry to say.
No, but you're not sorry to say because you're saying it. You're not at all sorry to say. When people come off with these, you know, very dramatic statements, you have nothing to back it up. Nothing. Not in this conversation. You haven't offered one credible iota of reasoning. You're just making statements, and you expect that these statements, which I consider to be rather presumptuous, that you know God's word better than God. Who's going to argue with that? Who could possibly mount an argument against you? And that's the tactic that many people like you make. You invoke the name of God, and we are to be paralyzed with fear and not challenge you at all. And simply let you say what you have to say because it's about God, and you know God better than I know God, and better than John knows God, and better than Betty knows God. That's arrogance in the highest. Don't speak, don't presume to speak for God. God is quite literate, quite able to express himself verbally and non-verbally. You don't have to speak for God. You don't have to make an argument to defend God. Who are you? Are you presuming that God is somehow limited in his capacity to express himself and to make known what he is feeling and thinking and doing? Chala Jai. That's Hindi for, let's move on. 888-874-4888 is the number to call. I have automatic resentment toward people who believe that invoking, and it's an abusive thing to do, by the way, because the intention here is to terrorize you into silence, that you dare not disagree. You dare not have a different point of view, because through the person God is speaking. Get out of here with that. 888-874-4888. Let's take, is it time for a break? No, it's not quite time for a break, but we'll take one anyway. We'll take a break and come back right after this. You're listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM. Things are heating up. I like it. At 888-874-4888, it is Free Your Mind Friday. And that also applies to me. You know, I get to free my mind, too, of opinions I resist expressing in the normal format during the week because it's not that kind of party. On Friday, however, with Free Your Mind, everybody is entitled to free his or her mind. And you can do that by calling 888-874-4888 and let's hear what you're freeing your mind of. We expect to be challenged, that's for sure. Not disrespected, but challenged. Let's go to Ed from Jamaica. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, Utrice. How are you?
Good afternoon.
You know, I was speaking to God yesterday, and she told me to just give a message. Get my name out of your mouth. She wants nothing to do with Trump. She wants nothing to do with Democrat or Republican. She says she's got enough problems. Get her name out of your mouth. That being said, how you doing?
I'm okay. I'm hanging in. I am hanging in.
Hanging in, hanging on, yeah. The one thing I just wanted to point out is we can't let this assault on the Capitol go without looking at the D.C. police, without looking at the National Guard, without looking at the Pentagon, and looking at how I honestly believe this thing was allowed to happen. There was more than enough forewarning. There was, and there are plans in place to lock down Washington in the event of catastrophe, disaster, or protest. I remember the Million Man March, like I said yesterday. When we were there, it wasn't violent, but Washington was shut down. There were barricades. There were hordes of police, Secret Service, Washington police. There was an outstanding presence there. And this cannot go unchallenged and should not go unpunished. I know a lot of people are running and handing resignations, but we need to look at the fact that, number one, white supremacy and racism is baked into the law enforcement in this country. The genesis of the law enforcement in parts of this country was slave catcher patrols. And that led to the police forces in the South specifically and up in the North. Number two, there are a lot of racists in this country. There are a lot of white supremacists in this country. And they are noted for reacting violently when they don't get their way. And no matter how much they're trying to drum Mr. Trump out of the arena, I remember the Central Park Five. And I remember how New York used to be. I remember Yusuf Hawkins. I remember all of these things going on and how his presumption of guilt for those five young men and the call for a death penalty was taken very seriously by a lot of New Yorkers. People forget history. I don't. So got to watch out. There are 74 million people out there that believe the garbage that this guy was spouting. And Ted Cruz and all of these Republicans putting up their fists, they all need to be put out of this process of government. The system is broken, and we got to start from scratch. We got to destroy it and start from scratch.
I'm with you on that point, that's for sure. Thanks for calling in. Bill from Long Island, you're on the air.
Hey, Utrice, how you doing?
Okay, Bill, how are you?
Doing okay. I know this is not going to be a popular statement or subject, but it has to be said. You know, there are 74 million people, just like your last caller and a few other callers have mentioned, there are 74 million people out there who voted for Trump, who for a long time have been told some lies by Trump. There's no question. He expands, you know, he does tell small lies, but he's also told big truths. Like,
wait a minute, like wait a minute. I have to treasure. Small lies. Donald Trump.
He talks and he says ridiculous things at times. There's no question. But
yes, you can say you can chalk it up to being ridiculous. But when it translates to policy, that
impinges
on other people's lives, it's not small. It's not a small matter at all.
Yeah, he addressed the issue of why these people don't have jobs and why all these jobs were exported to China, and why where city after city, county after county, you drive through New York State, it's devastated because our politicians allowed these jobs to go overseas. And now you have 74 million angry people who are acting out. And to try not to understand, I don't hear people saying, wait a second, this was an outrageous thing that they did. Let's try to understand why they did this. We're trying to
understand everybody else's lives. I'm going to challenge you right now. Why are we under some kind of obligation to understand what clearly presented itself as a series of criminal acts contemplated? Why are we obligated to understand?
Because
the
motive these people exist.
When
these people exist,
I don't
in society,
know a single black
and
person.
There are millions.
I don't know a single person of color who is given the benefit of doubt and understanding in any situation where the person has been targeted for arrest or trial or sentencing. No understanding there. So why is it that white people automatically qualify for deep understanding by the president personally, despite how they behave, despite the fact that they broke the law, despite the fact that they attacked, it was a terrorist attack? That's what that was yesterday. That claimed four lives, five lives actually. That was terrorism. The fact that it was done by people who looked American, quote unquote, what does that have to do with anything? They were a lawless bunch. And no less with the encouragement and incitement of the president, proceeded to commit this reign of terror in the nation's capital in order to make a point that they're still in charge. They are to be feared. No. No. That breaches the very basis of the premise that we hold here, that in a democratic society, demos meaning the people, that's what this society is supposed to be all about. All people. You don't have any extra special rights above all others. You don't have the right to act like an independently elected government doing whatever it wants to do and should be given wide berth to do it. You're out of your mind. And we now have people saying, like you have said, we need to understand. What is that to understand? Tell me. Break it down for me. Oh, he hung up. Yeah, it happens. It happens. Yeah. You see, when you start asking questions, what is it that I am supposed to understand about your willful violence? What am I supposed to understand about that? Get out of here. I don't understand that. And nobody should really understand that, because it is outside normal comprehension. But that's where they are accustomed. That's how they live their lives, outside of the controls that apply to the rest of us. David from Brooklyn, how are you doing today?
Yes, thank you. Well, I'm getting right to the point. I have a couple of points I'm going to make. First of all, the authorities, the FBI and the CIA, they have a great intelligence capacity, and they know what's going on in all these groups, such as these groups that attack the Capitol. And they have intelligence people in those groups, and they know the potential. So it shouldn't be a big surprise to anyone that knows this, that these people have kind of fallen down on the job. And that's number one. So I can't believe that they never imagined that this would happen with that group of especially phenotype white people who quite often in this society since the beginning have a long history of acting in a terroristic way. That's number one. And number two, I've heard them talking about impeaching Trump for his misdeeds. All right, so I think that is wonderful that you're going to impeach Trump. But it makes me think, when you talk about impeaching someone like Trump, that as I look at it, most of the presidents in recent history, as I see it, should have been impeached for something. I'm talking about, let's just start with the 41st President Bush attacking Saddam Hussein in Iraq, and the 43rd doing it again in 1993. So the point is that, to me, that's an impeachable act, you know, attacking a country that hasn't attacked you and just doing that. I would think about impeaching them. I would think about impeaching someone like Obama, who bragged about killing people every week and would send out drones to kill thousands of people over time. I would think about that with Clinton, who did things like that too. So the point is that there are a lot of presidents who should be impeached, and as far as I see, most of them lie also. So that is what I think about this, and I don't think it's any big surprise that those groups like the Proud Boys and whatnot that went to the Capitol did what they did, and I can't believe that the intelligence forces did not know about the potential to do such a thing.
But, you know, Trump has already been impeached once. Doesn't seem to harm him any. He continued to be president, and they continued to recognize him as such, though impeached. So clearly impeachment doesn't do it.
Yes.
Impeachment is not getting the results that it ought to get.
Mm-hmm.
He is impeached. He's an impeached man. He's an impeached president. But he's president.
That's and it.
Committing another set of acts that you now say again are impeachable. Then something is wrong with
that's
you.
That's right. Well, see, it's a matter of how you use the energy. Yeah, you want to go through that again with that impeachment of Trump? You know, I mean, you have all these people And they're going to do the same thing again and use your energy for that? No, I wouldn't want to go that way.
Why are they resisting what is so painfully obvious, and that is an indictment and a criminal indictment at that, and a trial? What the president did was incite sedition.
Yes.
Sedition is a big crime.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Forget impeachment.
Mm-hmm.
You want him out, and you want him out in a manner that says he hasn't learned from the first round. But now you're serious again. You gave him a break, but
yes.
Here he is again. And in your face, in the nation's capital, in the Capitol building.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, and you're not responding appropriately. You're still talking nonsense about impeachment. What's wrong with you?
Mm-hmm.
Something is wrong with them. Somebody needs to get a blackboard and go down to Congress and make two columns. What is impeachment? And you discuss that. And what is a criminal indictment? And why are you talking about another impeachment when you should be talking about his trial?
Absolutely.
This is insane. Totally insane. Thanks, David, for your call today. Always learn a lot from you. Thank you. Henry from Chicago, you're on the air. I'm having great fun. How about you?
How are you doing? I'm glad to hear you're having fun.
I'm having great fun.
Oh, my God. Yes, yes. And, you know, and I just want to wish you and the Lead Stories and PRN audience a safe and productive weekend. But
I didn't intentionally
wanted to call, but the two callers ago just, you know, it's so funny, you know, because I want to ask a question to him if he's still listening or to anybody who is in his mindset of why did nobody want to understand black people when crack cocaine hit our communities? You know, there was no understanding there. They just locked them up or they just let them die. And why does nobody want to understand when black people kill other black people? They automatically say it's black-on-black violence. What's wrong with them? Nobody wants to understand why so many black children are in one-parent households. What's wrong with black men? Do they not want to be – nobody wants to understand that. So my question to him or anybody else, if you're going to try to understand these terrorists that took over the Capitol, then why is there no understanding with black people in the conditions that they're in? It's just automatically they're pathological. We need to lock them up. We need to lock them up. And obviously our president-elect, who is part of that whole thing with the crime bill, has already, you know, maintain that position of, you know, let's not understand them, let's just lock them up. So that's just my question for people to ponder.
Please let them ponder. This is something worth pondering. Certainly, absolutely.
Yes. So thank you.
So that was your mission today?
That was my mission. Like I said, I typically just love to listen, but you know, sometimes I just got to call in and just have people ponder certain questions.
And share.
And since you're having so much fun, you know, I thought I'd just call in just to get it on the fun.
All right. Thank you, Henry, for your call. Thanks so much. Marcus from Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Ms. Leed. Excellent discussion.
Thank you.
I have to admit, so far, I haven't heard any arguments made that you basically wouldn't hear from Washington Post correspondents on NPR. So I'd like to indulge in, I just want to do a little creative thinking about this situation, sort of a fantasy, what Americans like to call a thought experiment when they're going to exercise their brains for a change. Let's say, for instance, that this event was conducted intelligently and for the right reasons. Let's say an equal number of people had assembled outside the Capitol in order to force Congress to pass legislation immediately that would end child poverty and child hunger in the United States. Okay, that's what we're going to do. Now, we'll handle it much better. In other words, we won't bring along the Heckler and Koch assault rifles, and we won't occupy offices and rifle through stuff. We'll approach this like intelligent adults who have planned it. And what did we discover from this? We discovered, number one, that the myth of the iron security front that the security state keeps reminding us about 24 hours a day is false. It doesn't exist. It's a front. It was easily breached. If it had been done correctly for the right reasons, and if the Congress building had actually been occupied, the media and the politicians would have had a serious problem. They would have had to eject from the premises thousands of people by force who were there trying to end child hunger. So all I'm suggesting is, when we look at situations like this, let's add a little depth to our attitude. Let's try to think creatively about what did we learn and how can we apply the lessons we learned to something that we could actually carry out for the right reasons, instead of occupying the usual fake left-right, liberal-progressive, Democrat-Republican stance that we're all expected to take. I think it is better, always, that the government fears the people. We have a situation where the people fear the government. Now, that's one of the things we learned here. The reaction from the media, from the government, is that they have to immediately denounce this as the worst possible thing that's ever happened in American history, and they're doing it because they're afraid. That part is good. The people who carried this out did it for entirely the wrong reasons. They went about it entirely the wrong way. It was inspired by Trump, so it was done in a knuckleheaded manner. Anybody who watches, who knows this crowd, understands they're going to do that. What if we took the lessons of this and applied them intelligently? That's all I'm asking you and your listeners is to consider.
Well, we have to discuss, in this situation, what is intelligence? What is an intelligent way to discuss this? We don't know what this is. We don't know the components of it. We don't know what started it. We don't know who choreographed it. We don't know who's in charge. Mm-hmm. We don't know what the aims and the objectives are, except to wreak havoc and a reign of terror in Congress. And they succeeded at that. But they had no other aims and objectives.
Right.
Where do we start?
I'm saying, I'm asking us to view this from the standpoint of somebody who is trying to acquire tactics and strategies for the correct reasons, for reasons that will actually serve the Commonwealth, human, like dealing with social crimes like human hunger. That's what I'm saying.
tactics and strategies to accomplish a mission. There are many that are well known. You take those of Martin Luther King, of demonstrating and hunger strikes, and that's fine. That is one way in which people went about it. Other ways would be people doing silent marches. That was a major thing in the days of Marcus Garvey, a huge demonstration of power, but in silence. So there are all kinds of approaches that we could take, but we don't know who's in charge here. Who's in charge of this?
Right.
And they dare not say. They don't want to say. They want to be public and extremely private at the same time. They're confused. Who are you going to
exactly? I mean, it's simply the raw data of what occurred that I'm looking at. I'm not trying to ascribe any motives to anybody. I don't have an analysis of that. Because I think you're exactly correct. We just don't know enough about who's actually behind all of this. But what I'm trying to figure out is, how can we take the lessons of this event that we do know and apply them to what is possible for us to actually make change? I mean, you mentioned Marcus Garvey and various things, and these are all true. Martin Luther King. Now, that's an entirely different discussion. The strategy and the tactics were only marginally successful. Now, this event did, whatever it was orchestrated by, got everybody's attention riveted on it, and there is a flurry in the official media to ascribe it to one thing. The right-wing media on commercial radio, for instance, is defending it. They're defending it, and they're basically using many of the same arguments that Black Lives Matter used. The official media sources, you know, NPR, The Washington Post, New York Times, they are simply spinning this as a terrorist act and that we have to beef up security. So they want to amp up the security state. That this is a pretense for that.
But
now,
you know,
whether that was orchestrated or whether it's just opportunism, I don't know. None of us know that.
But you see, we are assuming that they should be paid attention to because they have something important to say. And they have exhibited convincingly to way too many media outlets and to the public that they have power. They have power to create the change they want. I say we should ignore it. I say pay attention to those things that are in progress, that incorporate in their struggles a recognition that this is about all people, that they are doing it in order to improve society as a whole. We're not interested in hate, out and out hate, undiluted hate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're not on a power trip. We're trying to improve society for everyone.
Yeah.
So we shouldn't have a dialogue, in my view. I wouldn't have a dialogue with these people.
I don't think I'm suggesting that. What I'm trying to focus on is that whatever the reasons they used, this was in many ways a very effective social action. You know, we all have a share of
we have to call
social...
it what it is. We have to call it what it is. It was a terror attack. It wasn't a social action.
Yes, it became that. My original point was it didn't have to become that. If
you don't understand
right-minded people were doing it for a sensible reason, it could have been effective without becoming a terrorist act, so-called.
Yes, but you're talking in the sense, in the ideal. I'm talking about where this is ground level. This is at ground level how they think. They don't care how they get coverage, they just need to get it. They don't care.
There's no question about that. All I'm asking us to do for future thinking about what we can do, a discussion that you're smart enough and kind enough to have regularly on your program, is what can we learn from this that we can apply to a future action that would actually be done for sensible reasons, not motivated out of hate, not motivated out of a cult of personality for Trump, but for actual useful social goals. That's my only point.
All right, we have to leave it there because we're out of time. For my part, I'll give you a very straight answer. I have no desire to engage with these folks. None. They have shown me and the world convincingly we'd be crazy to chase them, to please adopt a different attitude and meet us halfway. I don't want to meet you at all. That's my position. My position is your action has only riveted up my concern about the openness of our community, which needs to be educated and re-educated constantly about the confluence of actions and interests. We have interests, and we should take action in accordance with those interests. And leave other people to themselves. We are not the peacemakers of the world. We cannot. We are overcome. It's not that we shall overcome. We are overcome. So we should keep that in mind as a guiding principle. What do a people who are overcome, how do they choose their priorities? And what do they do in pursuit of their interests and priorities? That's the only program that makes relevance and sense to me right now. Well, have yourselves a great weekend. Surround yourselves with people who bring added dimension to your life, and have some time for joy. We'll see each other Monday. Bye-bye.